Tonight we're going to be doing our service in a little bit of a different format than what we typically do. Tonight's going to be primarily a singing service in which we're going to be singing and thinking about the concept of thankfulness together. One of the things in the Bible that singing is ultimately meant to accomplish, as Paul talks about it in Ephesians and in Colossians, is singing is a form of speaking to one another, of teaching each other, of admonishing each other, to use hymns and psalms and spiritual songs to speak to each other and edify each other. Sometimes a sermon doesn't have to be done in a monologue style by the preacher. Sometimes it's something that we can do together and talk to each other about a particular theme or idea or focus, and that's what we're going to do together this evening. To that end, normally the Lord's Supper would be offered early in the service. Tonight, however, we're going to be offering it at the end. And so if you're here this evening and need to partake of that, we will be offering that still, but we'll be doing it at the end of the service this evening. This is, of course, the end of a long weekend that in our culture has been set aside under the name of Thanksgiving. And what we want to do in our time together this evening is to think about the concept of thankfulness. It's certainly a biblical concept, something that, of course, even this very day we've already prayed together about. Those who have led us in prayer have thought about that and talked to us about that. It's on our mind. We've had a lot of time off from work. We've been either traveling ourselves or had loved ones travel in to see us, many of us. The reality is thankfulness is a very important biblical concept. It's not just a word in the Bible. It's not just something that is said. It is ultimately a disposition or an attitude that affects who we are and how we live. In the book of Romans chapter 1, the Apostle Paul, beginning in verse 18, speaks of God's wrath that's going to be poured out on the human race at the end of time. The wrath of God, Paul writes, is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, that is, his eternal power and divine nature, they've been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but instead became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Here in what I think for many of us is a very familiar paragraph from Paul's opening chapter in the book of Romans, Paul connects the concept of a lack of thankfulness with the failure of human beings to honor God as God, the failure of human beings to respect God, and ultimately, the attempt by human beings to replace God with their own wisdom, with their own ideas, and with their own ways. To do this, creation in its own testimony has to be denied. Paul makes that clear, that despite the fact that creation testifies that there is a God, and that he is powerful, and that he is different, completely other than us, we, and being unthankful, deny creation. Or, in the other direction, we, by misappropriating the testimony of creation, we in turn deny God. And part of that denial of God is a lack of thanks, a lack of acknowledgement, a lack of a sense of dependence, a lack of humility. And so thankfulness is a very important concept in the Bible. Literally, the lack of thankfulness is part of the breakdown of the human being's ability to fear God as God. Because if we understand what he has done and the world that he has made, we all the more will be driven to our knees to confess who he is and to thank him for what he has done for us. And so that will be how we'll use our time together this evening. We will talk about the concept of thankfulness. Talk about it, even though most of what we will be doing together this evening is singing. We've selected, John Parsons and I have, a number of songs that revolve around several sub-themes within the concept of Thanksgiving. And so we'll be going through four different themes this evening, four different sections, a couple of songs apiece, in which we'll first talk about what we'll be singing, and then we'll sing the words to each other and to our God. And that will be how we will well use our time together this evening. However, to get us started and get us started well, we'll begin with a prayer, word of prayer, and Jeff Davis will come forward and lead us in that at this time.
Let us pray. Almighty God, hallowed be thy name. Father, we are truly thankful, for we are a blessed people. We are blessed citizens of thy kingdom. Father, we are blessed with thy word, for it is a lamp unto our feet. Father, you bless us with loving citizens in that kingdom, which Lift us up when we are down. Father, through your word and through those citizens, they help heal our hearts when our hearts are broken. Father, there is no other place to be but surrounded by others. At this time, we turn our hearts and our minds in psalm and in praise unto thee. May the lips that we sing, the songs that we sing, be in harmony with the thoughts of our mind. We pray that you will lend your ear unto us, for thou art the Almighty God, our Father. Father, thank you for Christ, for the death that he suffered, for his resurrection on the cross, from the cross, that he now sits in your right hand in heaven, preparing a place for us. Father, when it comes time for us to cross over, we pray that it will be a peaceful time, that we one day look forward to that day, that we can be citizens in thy kingdom. Thank you, Lord. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
I ask you to take your songbook and open it to number 24, the hardback songbook, number 24. And I ask you to open your supplement to number 49, one book each hand. Number 24 in the hardback songbook, number 49 in the supplement. One of the challenges, of course, is to make familiar songs new again. To make words that we know well strike us and speak to our hearts. The first theme that we'll consider together this evening and sing about is the concept of thankfulness flourishing the more we take stock of the breadth and scope of God's blessings in the right order. That is, focusing on what are our priorities and how we find our way to God. God, through Paul in Romans, connects the right understanding and appreciation of creation with recognizing him as God and being thankful properly to him. And number 24 in the hardback songbook, the lyrics read this way: "For the beauty of the earth, for the glory of the skies, for the love which from our birth over and around us lies, Lord of all, to thee we raise this our hymn of thankful praise. For the joy of human love, brother, sister, parent, child, friends of earth and friends above, for all gentle thoughts and mild, Lord of all, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. For thy church that evermore lifteth holy hands above, offering up on every shore her pure sacrifice of love, Lord of all, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise." And this first song that we're about to sing together in just a moment, notice the progression of the words, where we go first from creation itself and God's love as it's shown in creation to the importance of family, community, relationships, people with each other, wholesome community and healthy relationship, and ultimately to the highest human relationship of all, not even that of husband and wife, let alone parent and child, but ultimately to the highest human relationship of all, that of brethren in Christ who worship God together in spirit and in truth. Properly appreciating creation leads us to properly appreciate each other, leads us to properly worship our God. For the beauty of the earth, Lord of all, to this we raise, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. And so in the first song, we see this important progression, creation driving us to be thankful, not just for it for its own sake, but ultimately to God for all what he has made and who he has made and what he has made us. In this song, we're reminded that creation ultimately, nature, is not something to be possessed. That's materialism. That's greed. That's our desire for more. Nature is ultimately not something to be possessed in some materialistic way. Nature is simply the means by which God provides for us and sustains us. And therefore, creation is not something to be coveted. Creation is something that teaches us and drives us back to right, thankful relationship with God. And the second song we'll sing, number 49, God sends springs into the valleys, flowing soft through the hills. God sends streams down from the mountains, leaping over rocks and rills. And it goes on for several more lines to meditate upon creation itself. But in the final line of the third verse, it shows us where all of this is meant to lead. Ultimately, it's about Christ, the living water, bread of life, to fill my soul. Again, the authors of this song rightly recognize that creation and the meditation upon creation drives us not to greed, but to humble praise and thankfulness to God for what he has done for us and how all the needs that are met in creation physically, or he ultimately meets spiritually through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so let's sing number 24 and number 49. can now be opening your hardback songbooks at number 443. 443. And in your supplement, number 43. Number 43 in the supplement. Next concept we want to think about, speak to each other about, sing about, is the concept that thankfulness makes us more attuned, more aware, more conscious of God's plan and God's purposes in the world. The lyrics to Psalm the number 443 go this way. Come, ye thankful people, come. Raise the song of harvest home. All is safely gathered in ere the winter storms begin. God our Maker doth provide for our wants to be supplied. Come to God's own temple, come. Raise the song of harvest home. And in that first line, that first verse, you see what's familiar enough. The thanks to God, the awareness of God's blessing and making sure that we're provided for another year. It's the metaphor from an agricultural society where the harvest of the fall presages the harshness of the coming winter. Yet in the last line of verse 1, the song becomes itself a metaphor for a different kind of harvest and a different kind of gathering. Come to God's own temple, it says in the last line of verse 1, and raise the song of harvest home. What begins in verse 2 and progresses throughout the rest of the verses is the development of the metaphor that ultimately we're thankful to God and we're conscious of God not so much for the material blessings He's provided us, but we're thankful to God because of participation and being part of His larger work in the world. Read the rest of the verses with me and notice how the song then progresses. All the world is God's own field, fruit unto His praise to yield. Wheat and tares together sown, unto joy or sorrow grown. And now we're from Matthew chapter 13, the parable of the wheat and the tares. First the blade and then the ear, then the full corn shall appear. Lord of harvest, grant that we wholesome grain and pure may be. For the Lord our God shall come and shall take His harvest home. From His field shall in that day all offenses purge away. Give His angels charge at last, in the fire the tares to cast, but the fruitful ears to store, in His garner evermore. Even so, Lord, quickly come, to thy final harvest home. Gather thou thy people in, free from sorrow, free from sin. There forever purified, in thy presence to abide. Come with all thine angels, come, raise the glorious harvest home. And ultimately, then, what we do is, as much as it seems straightforward at the beginning of verse 1, that we're praising God, we're thinking about the fact that God has once again provided for our needs, we quickly make the shift to being aware of what God's ultimate purpose is in this world. It's not just simply to provide food for another year, another harvest safely gathered in. Rather, God's ultimate purpose in the world is to gather His own spiritual harvest, harvest His own people, separate His good wheat from the tares of the world, and ultimately purge His field, purify it, burn the wheat, or burn the tares, rather, as His angels come in judgment. And when we recognize that that's God's ultimate purpose, then our song really becomes not so much one of thankfulness for what He's given us, but thankfulness for what He will yet do. Even so, Lord, quickly come to thy final harvest home. And so as we go through periods in our lives when we are particularly aware, conscious, thankful for what God has done for us, may we not be so focused on the past of what He has done that we fail to be thankful for what we hope He will yet do in His power in the last day. And to that end, the second song that we'll sing, number 43 from the supplement. For all that you've done, I will thank you. To verse 2, for all that you give, I will thank you. To an awareness of what's coming, we thank God simply, completely, and thoroughly. And so with these two songs, we'll now think about how thankfulness makes us more attuned, more aware to God's larger plan and purpose in the world.
Come with thankful hymns.
your hardback songbook, number 372. Number 372. In your supplement, number 44, just a page over. Number 44 in the supplement. Number 372 in the hardback. Thankfulness, not just merely as words, but as a disposition, as an attitude, as a frame of mind, as a way of thinking, ultimately founds itself in a recognition, a confession, an acknowledgement of our dependence, all of creation's dependence upon God. Whether it was Paul in Acts chapter 17 talking to the Athenians on Mars Hill and reminding them that even they themselves in their own wisdom recognize that in him, in God, we live, move, and have our being. To whether it's Paul in Colossians chapter 1 writing to that church about how in Jesus Christ all things cohere, all things hang together, hold together in him. We are constantly, each and every moment of our existence, literally sustained by God's own power, God's own will, that we in the world continue to exist. One of the great problems of modern life is that we have gotten so distant from even within creation, the means by which we are sustained, that we forget how utterly dependent and contingent we actually are. Something happens from time to time, like 2008 Ike here in Houston, or just a month or so ago, Sandy up in the Northeast, where people are finally reminded about how fragile and how vulnerable we actually are within creation, how utterly dependent we are, and at the mercy of forces that are greater and more powerful than we. There's a danger in how far we have gotten, how distant we've gotten from how human life really is sustained. And maybe that part of the reason that creation's testimony no longer speaks as clearly or as loudly to us is that most of us don't live closely with nature anymore. We don't really know where our food comes from. Or if we do, if we see where our food comes from, we quickly change the channel. It's disgusting. It's disturbing. Most of us don't like to think about that, don't know about that. We have become so distant from nature. Our man-made environments, our artificial reality distracts us from God-directed, God-created environments and how God ultimately sustains us even as we get more and more distant from the field and from the flock. And number 372, the song goes this way. We plow the field for sowing, the good seed on the land. We do our part, but it's not ours to provide for ourselves out of that. It is fed and it is watered by God's almighty hand. He sends the snow in winter, the warmth to swell the grains, the breeze and the sunshine, and soft, refreshing rain. He only is the maker of all things near and far. He paints the wayside flowers. He lights the evening star. The wind and waves obey him. By him the birds are fed. Much more to us as children, he gives our daily bread. We thank thee then, O Father, for all things bright and good, the seed time and the harvest, our life, our health, our food. Accept the gifts we offer for all thy love imparts, and what thou most desirest, our humble, thankful hearts. The deep wisdom of this song, the power of these words we're about to sing and speak to each other, is that this song well captures the reality that even as we do our part, we plow our fields and sow our seed, nothing but nothing good that happens to us, nothing but nothing that happens in creation happens without God's almighty and all superintending hand overseeing it. Therefore, may we offer God that which he most desires, not simply words of thanks, but words of thanks from a humble, dependent heart. Indeed, the greatest illusion, the greatest risk to human beings is the illusion of independence. That's what Satan offered Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3. He offered them, in tempting them to partake of the forbidden fruit, the idea that they could be like God, knowing good and evil, independent from their maker. And that temptation is still what distorts us to this day. As Paul once chided the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 7, what do you have that you didn't receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? Or as John puts it in John chapter 1 and verse 16, and thinking about Jesus coming into this world, the Word made flesh. For of His, that is of Jesus, of the second person of the Trinity who becomes human in the person Jesus of Nazareth. For of His fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace, gift upon gift, what God has done for us. And so for all its simplicity, the second song that we sing then reminds us that we give thanks with a grateful heart. We give thanks to the Holy One. We give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Let the sick say, I am whole. Let the bound say, I am free, because of what the Lord has done for us. And so let us sing and speak to each other out of thankful hearts that are humble, because we know how dependent we and all of creation really are upon our Maker. in your hardback psalmbook, number 561. Number 561. In the supplement, number 160. Number 160. Ultimately, and especially this becomes clear in the book of Psalms, thankfulness is really just a subset, a subcategory of praise. Sometimes we praise God for just simply who He is. Sometimes we praise God for what He's done. And especially in the book of Psalms, praising God for what He's done typically takes the form of thankfulness, an acknowledgement of what He has given, of His generosity, of His mercy, of His strength against our weakness, over and curing our weakness, of His power when we cannot help ourselves. In Psalm 50, in the beginning of verse 8, God says to His people, "I do not reprove you for your sacrifices, and your burnt offerings are continually before me. I shall take no young bull out of your house, nor male goats out of your folds, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills. I know every bird of the mountains, and everything that moves in the field is mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all it contains. Shall I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of male goats? Rather, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High." And then at the end of the psalm, in verse 23, the psalm ends this way: "He who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me, and to him who orders his way aright, I shall show the salvation of God." The one who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me, understands who I am and what I am about. In Psalm 50, the thing that I think is so powerful is, as we reflect upon creation, what the psalmist seems to be saying, as we reflect upon creation, as we recognize that all of it is completely within God's inventory, His possession, He knows it all. Every bird, every piece, every bit of livestock, all of it. Everything that moves in the field is known to God, is owned by God. Creation, as Paul reminds us, which is meant to testify both to His power and to His nature, then drives us, not in thankfulness, to acknowledge who He is. He who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me. He praises me. He gives me my due because He acknowledges that everything comes from me. Everything is about me. Everything is provided by me. And so we'll close our theme this evening with two songs. The first is rather short, 561. "Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost." Everything is God's, and therefore everything owes God not just thankfulness, but the praise that thankfulness ultimately is. Because we move from what He has done to who He is as revealed by what He's done. The other song, number 160 in the supplement: "My voice shall sing to Thee in the morning. My voice shall sing to Thee in my serving. My voice shall sing to Thee in the evening." My thankfulness, my praise, and I shall sing to You because of what You've done. Thy goodness, Thy wondrous powers, Thy works of righteousness. I shall sing for Thy mercy, Thy loving kindness shown to me. Ultimately, I praise You. I move from just what You've done to who You are. When Moses wanted to know who God was in the book of Exodus, he wanted to see God's face. God wouldn't let Moses see His face. God told Moses, "Nobody can see My face and live," in Exodus 33 and Exodus 34. Instead, what God showed to Moses was His glory from the backside. And as God's glory passed by Moses' face, Moses heard the announcement of God's nature: the Lord, Yahweh, merciful, slow to anger, showing loving kindness, not forgiving the iniquitous, the Lord. And so as we think about what God has done, we're ultimately moved to praise Him for who He is. And the song that we sing in 160 does that so well. Let's speak these words to each other.
Thank you. sing Praise God, for whom all blessings flow, through twice. The first time we sing it, we'll sing it in unison. And please watch me. We're going to sing it a little slower to get the much meaning out of it as possible. The second time through, we'll sing in parts. Thank you.
ultimately, part of what makes thankfulness work is knowing who God is and knowing who we are. In 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning of verse 17, the apostle wrote this. He said, "If you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each man's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life that you inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God." Ultimately, it's about knowing who you are, who God is. It's about recognizing how valuable you are in God's sight. We should be thankful for what we have in this world, for what God has done for us, for the prosperity of this country, for our peace, our security, our relative safety. But too often we are more thankful and more conscious of the physical blessings than we are of the spiritual blessings that He's provided. You've been bought with something much more valuable than the perishable gold or silver. Oh, be thankful for it, enjoy it if you have some of it while you're here. But ultimately God has shared with you the only currency recognized in heaven, the blood of His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. That's something to be thankful for, something to be eternally grateful for. And if you're here this evening and you have never been made right with God through the blood of Jesus Christ, you've never been truly thankful. You don't know what thankfulness is because you've never experienced the salvation of God made possible for our sakes, Peter says, even now in the last days. If you're here tonight and you're not a child of God already, it's not too late. You can be made right with God through the most valuable thing of all, the shed blood of Jesus for you this evening, the greatest sacrifice, the greatest gift, the most thankful object of all. If you're here this evening, we can help you with that by having you come forward, confess Jesus as Lord, Savior, Son of God, repent of your sins, and be baptized for forgiveness of those sins. We'd like to do that and help you with that this evening. If you're here, you're a child of God already, but your life does not reflect the mindset of thankfulness in how you live, your sense of dependence, your praise upon God, your participation, the awareness of God's plan and larger purposes in this world beyond your own life and your own situation. Pray to God for forgiveness however you failed Him. If we can help you, we'll pray with you and for you. And whatever is on your mind and your heart, whatever spiritual need you have, you're valuable to us. We're valuable to God. Let's stand and sing at this time and help anybody who needs it.
prepare our minds for taking of the Lord's Supper. Please turn to number 15 in the supplement.